This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
Anyone else feel like a business class required in your schooling curriculum would have been massively helpful? Because same. We went to school to become therapists, and here we are 10 years later, really noticing the void in our knowledge on the business side of therapy, which is why we love our Masterclass membership. Masterclass has truly increased our confidence in running our therapy practice, The Therapy Group. Pros like Chris Voss, Robin Roberts, Daniel Pink, and Mark Cuban have filled that void and taught us so much about decision-making, negotiating, maximizing our time, and effective communication. This year, you too can learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. Don't just talk about improving, Masterclass actually helps you do it. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. masterclass.com/shrinkchicks.
Welcome to Shrink Chicks.
I'm Emily Beerley.
And I'm Jennifer Chaikin.
And we're licensed marriage and family therapists and owners of The Therapy Group.
We're on a mission to make therapy and therapeutic topics more relatable and accessible.
So stay tuned, because in order to grow yourself, you gotta know yourself. Hey, Jen.
We're back.
Hey, Jen, how are you?
Same as I was. Same
15 minutes ago when we did part one of this episode, and then we decided to do part two because it was so interesting.
Same as I was, you know, 15 minutes ago. Just hopped up on my latte. Well, still,
it's a week later for everyone else, so I hope you all had a lovely week. And I'm here, so we are.
so self-centered of me. I apologize.
Wow. And what do you do when someone's not doing the work and they're being self-centered? Okay.
Right. There it is.
But I want to start out. So this is part two of what the heck do you do when you're working your ass off, growing and healing, feeling all the uncomfortable things. And you know what? You got these other people in your life you love very dearly, and they maybe aren't doing shit, or maybe they're just not doing the same level, or maybe we just don't like what they're doing.
Right. So many options.
Yes. But you know what? I wanted to start with this other question that I really liked, because I think it kind of starts out at a little bit of a positive note. And I love that someone wrote this in, which is tips for enjoying family members who refuse to do the work. They're not saying tips for how to never fucking talk to this person again. They're like, shit, man, I want to make this work. I'd like to have my relationship. And so, like, how do I actually enjoy it and not be resentful of them? What do you got? What's your tip? I have a few, but I want
to
hear yours.
So the first thing that comes to my mind is, I think so often in relationships we quickly jump to, like, here are the things that I can't stand. You know what I mean? Like, those are the things that jump out to us, as opposed to, like, what are the times that I do enjoy being with them? Like, how can I connect with this person? Maybe it's not in the ways I connect in other relationships. Maybe I can't get deep with them. Maybe we can't talk about certain topics, right? Maybe we can joke around. Maybe we can do activities together. So I think that really sifting through, like, what are the times that I do enjoy being with them, and pulling those out, right?
Yeah.
And where there are times that bring up the fact that there are discrepancies in the work that you're doing and the work that they're doing, maybe you don't engage in those as much. That's my thought, that I think pull out the things that really have worked in your relationship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, like, let's have an example of this so people understand what we're talking about, right? So let's say you have someone in your life who you really want them to work on their relationship with drinking. Maybe you don't go to bars with them. Maybe you have someone in life that you really like, oh, like, why are you still with this jerk? I hate going on double dates. Maybe you just hang out with them individually, right? Yeah. Maybe, you know, my mom is always on my ass about having kids. Maybe you don't go to your cousin's baby shower with her.
Maybe you don't go to a park. Maybe you go nowhere there's children.
Strip club.
Maybe you go to... Maybe you definitely go to a strip club.
That sounds definitely,
I think, that's
like the
only
right
option. Yes.
Yes. But one of the things, right? Like, okay, like, I have this friend. I can't really go deep with her. I wanted to. And so, you know what? Maybe all we can do is sit on the couch and watch reality TV together. And, like, what we can really do is gossip about, like, The Real Housewives.
What could be better?
And that is fine. Different relationships serve different things for us. I might have some people in my life that I can't, I philosophically, we just, like, don't believe the same things. I'm not going to have those deep conversations with them if I'm not, like, leaving, like, soul fulfilled the way I maybe would with someone else. That does not mean they're a bad friend. It doesn't mean they're a villain. It doesn't mean anything. It means that there's different parts of them that I relate to. And so I'm going to interact with those parts.
I think that's a, you know, sometimes a misconception we have is that like all our relationships have to be the same in order for them to be fulfilling. I don't think that's true. Just as you're saying, Em, you know, I think that there are different parts of us that can be fulfilled from different kinds of relationships. I think it's something to normalize. I think that it's okay to have different types of relationships. It's okay to not get very deep in all of your relationships. It's okay to do one thing with one friend and another thing with another friend and not be able to cross those two. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's just something to normalize and say is okay. It doesn't mean that they're any less important to you or that those relationships are any less special. I just think it's okay to put them in different places in your life.
Mm, I like that.
Me too.
So, okay. So tips for enjoy family members. What if you were to say, what are the parts of them that I do enjoy? What's the parts that we have a lot of fun together? What works for us? Maybe we're not the people that just like go out to eat and like have conversation. Like maybe we need like a little bit more help in facilitating that conversation. So maybe you do activities with them, right? Like maybe, you know, they're like, oh, really negative. Maybe you're not going to go on a hike with them because they complain the whole time. Like whatever it is, like what are the parts of them that I love and I relate to and that I want to make work? And then what are the parts that like I leave feeling like really drained from? And how do I navigate around that? Like what if we were to just like look at people as lots of different parts? Let's answer this one. This is a really tough one. And I think, unfortunately, probably other people experience this. How to respond to an unhealthy dad who threatens self-harm or suicide. When we have someone in our life who threatens hurt as a way to bring us closer, that is manipulation. It is. They might not be the healthiest person. They might make cognizance of it. They might even be under the influence or using a substance when they do it. But it is incredibly manipulative and it's unhealthy.
Right.
And you have to say to yourself, if somebody does that, one, I can say, okay, Dad, so I'm going to send the police to your house for a wellness check. If I really think you're going to hurt yourself, then I have to call and do something about this. Right? Because I really don't want anything. I think sometimes people, they do this as threats. And they've done it for so long. What if we were to take people really seriously?
Yeah. And I think, you know, if it is manipulative, that it's worked in a lot of ways, because that's scary. That is so terrifying to hear from your dad or anyone to say like, hey, I'm going to hurt myself. And so we're quick to jump on that and say, hey, what can I do? You know, like call them. And so it works, right? It does bring us closer to them because we're fearful. We don't want anything to happen to them.
Yeah. And we'd feel like, oh, well, what if this is the one time he does it?
Right.
Like, that's the fear, right? It's like, oh, but what if this time it's different? And
And is that, I think there's a lot of fear around if I don't take this seriously, is it my responsibility? Did I do something wrong? And so I think that taking it seriously is saying, I'm going to call the police to do a wellness check because it isn't your responsibility. You know, and you can say, I'm going to take this seriously. I'm going to make sure that you get the help that you need. As opposed to if it is manipulative, that you calling them and you getting it actually working, you going towards them, you saying, okay, I'm going to sit with you. I'm going to be with you because then
I hear you. I'm going to take this seriously.
Yeah.
And so it's a different way. It's uncomfortable. And I think it's also like, okay, so then what if they're mad at me?
Let them be mad at you. Let them be mad at you.
And what will happen?
Yeah. I think that's a big thing is that there's a fear of, okay, if I don't do this, the person's going to be mad at me. And we try to avoid that. As opposed to let them be mad at you. Let them sit and see if you can sit in that discomfort.
Yeah.
Right?
Do we keep trying or we just give up? When is it too much?
Oof. So I first would want to know what does trying look like? Right? What is trying? We mentioned in the first episode that sometimes we believe trying is like yelling at the person, right? It's in the heat of an argument, we're telling them to do their own work as opposed to really sitting down and saying, this is really important to me. And so I want to know what's trying for you. What does that look like? And does the person know how serious you are? Do they know how important it is? Do they actually know you're at the end of your rope? Right. If you're asking us this question, clearly you're getting to the end of your rope. And I think the term like ultimatum is, people are, have a lot of fear around that, where I think that like ultimatums are only a problem if they're just manipulative, right? If they're not real, as opposed to if this doesn't change, I actually am going to leave and I want you to know that, right? That's okay to say. You're just being honest. You're, that is your truth. And so I think it's important to let people know when you actually are at the end of your rope, because then it gives them the opportunity to make a change. And then if not, then you make a decision. But mm-hmm. I think people really have to know that you're at that place.
Esther Perel is a great quote. All people will be married 4 or 5 times in their life. And if you're lucky, it's with the same person. Ooh. Relationships change and grow. Right now, my husband and I are working on ending our relationship, version 1, and moving into something better. And so I think what you can also say is like, I'm ready to fucking end this and I need something new. And are you coming? I want to make something new with you. Right? When is it too much is when you're the only one doing the work. When it's too much is when you are carrying the whole ship. When it's too much is when it is filtering into every other aspect of life and hurting everything else. It is too much when it has led into just really, really difficult mental health. It's too much when children are being hurt from it and other people are at risk, right? Those are all indicators of too much. And also, sometimes it's not that bad. Sometimes we're just not happy and it feels horrible to say, and we feel like it should be so incredibly horrible, right? Like there should be like abuse or drinking or like all of these other like really big things for it to be reason enough for something to end. And it doesn't have to be that. Sometimes it could just be because like, holy shit, I change in all these ways and that's it for me.
So I think, and this will go into our next episode at one point, how terrifying change is. Whoever is listening to this, I apologize for that. I apologize for that. I think that making that change is so scary for people that that's why I think this question comes up a lot. And you know what? I think another thing we can talk about, because we're couples therapists, is that we see, you know, something that we see in couples therapy is that sometimes couples will come in and it is so clear that one person is more willing to do the work than the other person, and that the other person might just be there to save face. That's one instance. There's another,
yeah.
There's other instances in which that still might be the case initially, but the other person still wants to do the work, but they're slower to warm up to therapy. So that, I think, if you are in couples therapy and you're experiencing that, to know that sometimes it takes a little bit of time to get both people really invested. But then there's other times in which the partner just does not want to work on it. They don't want to work. And I think that that's something to really talk about if you're in couples therapy of like, this isn't happening, right? There are no changes that are happening. We've been at this for 6 months. Nothing is different. And I think that's something to acknowledge.
Yeah.
If you listen to one of our latest episodes titled Em and Jen Fall Apart, you know the current feelings of burnout that we're both facing. Running our business, the therapy group, keeping up with the podcast, and enduring a house renovation leaves little time for grocery shopping, meal prepping, and cooking. So we are extremely thankful for our sponsor, Hungry Root. When I received my first delivery of the Hungry Root box, it felt like a breath of fresh air. Hungry Root saves me so much time and offers customizable options. Plus, with perfectly portioned ingredients, I'm wasting far less food than I would if I were left to my own devices in the kitchen. No more throwing away wilted veggies or expired condiments lurking in the back of my fridge. Each order is fully customizable, so you can take their suggestions or choose anything you want. They've got fresh produce, high quality meat and seafood, smoothies, sweets, ready to eat meals, kids' snacks and meals, vitamins and supplements, and much more. I discovered Three Little Pigs, spinach, feta, and egg bites in my last delivery, and they are my new obsession. Also, Hungry Root's coconut curry sauce is not to be missed. Everything from Hungry Root follows a simple standard. It's got to taste good, be quick to make, and contain whole trusted ingredients. Right now, Hungry Root is offering Shrink Chicks listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you. Can you believe we're on year 5 of Shrink Chicks? We have been podcasting since 2019 and have somehow yet to change the photo of us on the cover of the podcast. We are planning a photo shoot in a few weeks so we can finally update our cover art. We both obviously need new outfits for the photo shoot, but really didn't want to break the bank. So thank goodness for Quince, where we can get multiple high-quality outfits for a very reasonable price. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. For the shoot, we want to go with a few different looks, one being monochrome, so I opted for a few key items from Quince's collection, including their Mongolian cashmere tee, classic trouser pant, and structured blazer. I couldn't resist adding their timeless 14 karat gold jewelry pieces to complete my look, because who doesn't love accessorizing? The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, making me feel even better about my purchases. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/shrinkchicks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shrinkchicks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shrinkchicks.
This one's a family one. Okay. For my brother, how do I encourage him to go to therapy and get sober? I love you, and I'm worried about your use. I love you, and would you be willing to talk to someone? I love you, and I love you, and I love you, and I love you, and here's the ways it affects me. Here's the ways I'm concerned. Here's what I see. Sometimes we do not see what is happening. One of the most beautiful things we can give people sometimes is honesty.
And if that's not working,
how would you say it?
I was going to say, if that's not working, right? You would say, I love you. I'm concerned about your drinking. Unless this changes, I'm not going to be in contact with you. Then you set the hard boundary.
Yeah.
You know, that is where you set the hard boundary. If nothing's changing, if it's affecting your relationship, affecting things that you really see them going down a bad path, you really see that they're in huge danger. You set that boundary. People need tough love in order to make changes. And you love this person. And I think that it's so important to hold them accountable too.
How to get them to understand you're doing the work, and part of that is them listening. My script, I would say, is I want to tell you stuff. I want to tell you something. I want to tell you about this thing I discovered. And I'm going to ask you to not respond and just hear me. Would you be willing to just listen with no response? And then you also have to make sure you check your own anxiety that you can actually sit in no response. Part of being heard is allowing yourself to be heard and then not letting your anxiety take over and be like, okay, well, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? What do you have to say about this? Because then you just ask this person to listen, and now you're asking for a response, right?
And you're undoing all of that communication you just did.
Uh-huh. And also, part of getting people to listen is not unbridled self-expression, as Terry Real would say. If I am telling you a chapter book and I'm saying you can't respond to that, is that fair? If I'm telling you a chapter book, you want me to listen to a whole thing? Can I get two sentences? Can I get a spark notes?
You know what?
Right.
You know what? Do you ever see those I don't know if it's a meme or like things where it's someone like recording someone who's like writing a text message, and it's the longest text message, and they're like, Oh, wouldn't want to be on the other end of that. That is an example of unbridled self-expression through text.
That, right? It's a very good example, right? And like in every relationship, right? Okay, so like in my relationship, my couple's therapist, I'm allowed two sentences. My husband's allowed two paragraphs because he needs that space to process and get to it. I am a very quick processor, right? So even Jen and our interactions, one sentence, two paragraphs. And that's not unfair. That's the difference between equality and equity.
Yes. And that's the thing is that, so, because I will ask this from my partner, right? Like, because he's quick to be like, oh, let me give you all the solutions, fix it, right? And so I will say to him, hey, will you just sit and listen? I don't need advice. I just need you to listen. And then when he's giving me the space to do so, I'm like,
That's what I mean. Like, you have to then say like, okay, I asked for this and I have to actually like receive it.
Because also if you're not used to processing that quickly, sometimes it takes some time to get it out too. So give yourself the space. So I have had to explain to my husband, hey, I process things internally and then I say them, right? And so when we're having a conversation, he's a quick processor like you am, and he's just saying whatever's coming to his mind, right? And so I have had to explain to him, this is how I process things. I'm going to take some time to think about this and I'll come back to you. Mm-hmm. Emily and I have had this in our relationship too a lot with like she'll present an idea to me and we're so good. We have such a good process with this now.
But it didn't used to be.
No. But we know each other so well now.
Yeah. But before it could have ended up with me bulldozing you.
Yeah. Well,
I didn't realize either.
Right. And also I didn't either, you know, like, yeah. I think we're so aware of it now, like where you will say something and I will say to her, let me think about it. She gives me the space to think about it. And then we talk through it.
That's hard for me too.
Yeah. And you do such a good job.
But I should say, like, rightly, that's what I mean. It's like, there's nothing wrong with you that it's hard for you. It's uncomfortable. It's weird. When you're the fast processor, I think, especially when you go to the place of like, oh, they're mad at me, right? Like, so sometimes I'll like say an idea to Jen. It takes her a while. And I'm like, oh, she hates it. She just doesn't want to tell me. Like, I start like making up stories in my head.
I would tell you if I hated something.
But sometimes it takes you a while to decide that you hated it.
It does. No, it absolutely
where
does.
I'm like, you'll send me something. And I'm like, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sent me something last week. You sent me like, oh, it was like a plant stand thing. And I was like, absolutely fucking not.
I hate it. Yeah. I'm like, I'll look at something and I'll be like, let me think about it. It'll take me like a while. Like, I'll really have to think about it.
Here's the thing, though. Because of my past, I used to do that when I hated something, but I was too people-pleasing to say no. Oh. So I then read into times when you have asked for that. And make up stories in my head about, okay, last week I bought these the mushrooms.
Oh,
let
me just say, I was out to dinner.
I know. That's what I'm saying though. Like, it's stories we make up in our mind, right? So like, okay, here's a really good example.
This is such a good one.
We're opening up.
You were definitely spiraling. But keep spiraling.
I wasn't spiraling that much because I was like in a pretty good headspace, but like I had the intro of it and I like brought myself back down, right? Okay. We got really excited for this new location that we have.
So excited.
It's really big. It's in a beautiful place in Philadelphia. We get to decorate it. It's really the first time in our careers that we've opened up an office that we've had a little bit financial freedom, more than we've ever had, right? Before, I mean, you all know how we started, rented fucking furniture. My brother was getting divorced from his first marriage. We took all of the fucking furniture.
And that furnished, actually, we should post the, okay, never mind.
We should, no, it's so funny. So like the one was like literally like a fucking like, broken leather chair from IKEA, and it was like held up by like, I kid you not, like two bricks. And it was so bad. It was free. And so when you go into a therapist's office and you're like, this is so ugly, I want you to remember therapists do not have a ton of extra money to be putting towards decor, right?
Give them
so
time.
Whatever. Yes, we're very, very excited about this new office. And we also are doing a really cool staff lounge for our clinicians. Our clinicians are just the most amazing place in the world. Sometimes it's really good to have a place to like, when you're in the same office all day, it can get intense, right?
It can get isolating too. Isolating, so for them to be able to like be together, hang out, yes, have space for themselves is really important. Hang out, right? Yeah.
So we're like doing the staff lounge and we're excited that like the rest of the office is going to kind of go on brand, but the staff lounge is going to be a little bit more funky, right? So I bought these two mushroom ottomans. They're shaped like mushrooms. They're very cute. I said it to Jen. I was like, listen, you can't say shit because I paid with it. They're so cheap. So I was like, I paid with them with my own money because it was very inexpensive. I was like, you can't say shit, right? She didn't answer. She's at dinner like a normal human being is in the evening that doesn't put their kids to bed at 7 o'clock. Okay. And I'm like, oh, she's not saying anything because she hates it. She was like drinking. She's at dinner. Like the next day, she's like, what did you even send me? I didn't fucking look at it. Love it. Adorable. Like didn't even give a shit, right? But because for many parts of my life, I would say like, oh, like, let me think about that as a way of buying time to people, please. as opposed to I don't like it, I automatically have had a habit of reading into other people's behavior.
Wow.
And so that is how we can project onto others.
Was that so hard with me at the beginning?
Like the beginning of our relationship?
Yeah. I guess we weren't making as many decisions as we are now.
Yeah, I think it was really different. I mean, we had such little, like, Jen,
we had no money.
There was no decisions. It was like,
we were just like, well, how can we afford
this? Here's the furniture you can rent, or we know somebody who's moving, who's getting rid of something. Like, right. That was it.
Yeah, there were no decisions. It was like, we'll take what we can get.
There was no decisions. So it wasn't as hard at the beginning. Now, and thank God we're in the place we are now in our relationship to make big decisions, yes, and stuff. But also even this week, we had to go to the store to buy all the flooring. We literally just went to the cheapest options.
But it's still beautiful. Still beautiful. We still save money, but we make it beautiful.
We literally like, what is under $3 a square foot? Yeah. That was like, that's every decision.
So exciting. But like, how exciting that we get to pick out any type of flooring.
Any type of flooring.
Very exciting.
Okay, so ask for listening. You have to actually take it.
Yes.
What I ask for, we can't put our partners or anyone in our life, any relationship, in a double bind, right? A double bind is where I say I want something from you and then I reject it when you give it to me. And then they're like, oh, what the fuck? I don't know what I'm doing.
Right.
Right? And when we're uncomfortable asking for what we need, we can often put people in double binds. And when we have this like other, like who we are and what we're feeling, like when your insides don't match your outsides is when you can often get into double binds.
And it's like, it can be so vulnerable, right? To finally get what you need when you have been in this dynamic where you haven't been getting what you need in certain interactions. You're finally getting what you need. It opens up such a vulnerable space for you. And so you try to fill that space, right? It starts to bring up this anxiety of like, now I have this space. What do I do with it? And yeah. So that might be something that takes time to get used to, right? And so if you're slower to process, it might take you a longer time to say like, okay, give me some time to get these words out, right? Like, give me some mm-hmm. time to say what I need. And so it might take a few tries. It's okay if it takes a little bit of time and you need some practice with it.
Yeah.
All right, what do we got next?
Okay, I like this one. How to help people in hard times, example like grieving, without getting sucked in or enmeshed/predified, finding it hard to balance with my mom. Mm. There's going to be times throughout a developmental relationship cycle where there's closeness and when there's separateness, right? Closeness, death, children, weddings, like, you know, like some developmental milestones. Often the family comes close and then there's also individuality. We separate a little bit. Okay. It is normal, even when there's been a lot of enmeshment, to be closer at times of developmental change, like grieving. It doesn't mean it's enmeshed. But what you do want to say is, one, am I like, how is it really for me to support someone without completely taking care of them? Am I crossing boundaries with how I'm doing that? Are they crossing boundaries with how we're doing it? And how am I feeling after the interactions? Right? You're right. It's a delicate balance and it's also not perfect. Relationships are living, breathing things. They change every single day. So is the relationship with anyone else in your life.
I wonder for this person if being enmeshed and parentified is a little bit of a wound for you. And so when you are called to be there for someone, there's a fear of, especially if you have done all this work to be able to set these boundaries, to be able to take care of yourself, to be able to understand this, that wound can be opened up a little bit when you're called to be there for someone, especially a parent who maybe parentified you to begin with. When you are called to be there for them, support them emotionally, that can be a little triggering for that if that has been present in your relationship in the past. So this might be a really good time to also be processing through that with a therapist, right? Like, how do I continue to find that balance between being there for my mom, but not getting sucked back in, and also being able to take care of myself as those wounds within me are being reopened? And so I think that that's hard because I think it can be re-triggering in a lot of ways if you have been parentified by this person and they are going through something and you want to be there for them. So I love what you said, Em, about figuring out what that looks like, how do I be there for this person without getting completely sucked into it? Mm-hmm. And those boundaries might need to change. What they looked like when you were younger have to be very different than what they are now. Like, you're an adult, you get to set those boundaries, you get to define what that means. That doesn't mean you are not being there or supporting that person who's going through this grieving. And I think that that might be something to reprocess.
Anyone else go through soap and cleaning products insanely quick? At both my house and at our business, we're constantly replacing plastic bottles. Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? And if that's not bad enough, most cleaning formulas are 90% water, which is heavy to ship, leading to excessive carbon emissions. That's why we are thrilled to introduce our newest sponsor, Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. The idea is simple. They offer refillable cleaning products with a beautifully cohesive design that looks great on your counter. Fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. You will never have to grab bulky cleaning supplies on your grocery run. Refills start at just $2.25. You can even set up a subscription or buy in bulk for an additional savings. From cleaning sprays to hand soap, toilet bowl cleaner, and laundry tablets, all Blue Land products are made with clean ingredients you can feel good about. And I'll be honest, I was a bit skeptical at first. Can eco-friendly products really tackle tough messes? Well, Blue Land proved me wrong. The products I received, like their multi-service cleaner and bathroom cleaner, were powerful. Grime, grease, and dirt don't stand a chance. Blue Land is not only good for the planet, but also for your wallet. And the starter kit I received was beautifully packed. The bottles are sleek and sturdy, and the scents are amazing. Lemongrass, lavender eucalyptus, and fresh lemon, or you can choose fragrance-free. Blue Land has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/shrinkchicks. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/shrinkchicks for 15% off. That's blueland.com/shrinkchicks to get 15% off.
Well, on the topic of reprocess, we have to reprocess a question somebody asked it, and we're going to have to rewrite it for them. Somebody wrote in, my parents, how do I make them change or apologize? I have to edit this question for you because the question needs to be, how do I grieve that my parents won't change or apologize? How do I accept that my parents won't change or apologize? How do I navigate the relationship with my parents while I realize that they won't change or apologize? We have to edit those.
That hurts.
I know.
I'm so sorry. It's true. No, but it's so true. And I think it hurts because it's hard to be in that place and learn that that's going to happen, that you have to go from expecting them to change to grieving that they're not going to change. Mm-hmm. And I also want to say, I think that that's a long process that happens. I think you go through so many ups and downs with that, where you get to the place where you're like, okay, maybe they're changing a little or they're not, you know, and then you're like, okay, I'm going to grieve this. I'm going to accept this. And then you might get sucked back into it. So I think that's a process that you go through for a long period of time in your relationships. And I think that sometimes the grieving can feel harder than holding on to this hope. And so I think that it makes sense that you're wanting to stay away from the grief because grief can be so painful. It's hard to say, oh, my parents didn't give me what I needed growing up. You know, like I really needed so much more than I was getting from them. And I'm going to have to grieve that. And what do I do with that? Right. Like at that point, what do I do with that? Now you're like, you're an open wound. And how do I take care of myself in that? How do I reparent myself? But sometimes holding on to hope can keep you on a hamster wheel that never ends.
Never.
Always trying to control something that's out of your control.
Yeah.
And that will never happen. Oh, God. We feel for you.
Yeah. I kind of want to cry.
You can. The space
thanks,
is here.
Babe. How do you bring it up when it seems like they're completely oblivious that the balance is off? Well, is the balance being off benefiting them?
Oof. Oof. I wish you could drop your mic, but it would fuck up our audio. But
here's white out.
Drop white out. I like how you just dropped it. Yeah. Okay. Great question. What year is it? Why do you have white out? What are you writing? And why do you have white out? Also, I love that you're dropping it into your hand so that it doesn't make a loud noise.
The mic.
Wow. Really kind.
All right, Jen, you take that. How do we bring it up when it seems like they're completely oblivious and the balance is off?
like I said, you need to bring it up at a time in which you are not activated.
Mm.
And here's the thing. If it's benefiting them and it's not benefiting you, you still get to bring it up, right?
Yeah.
You don't have to come to the same conclusion on this. You are part of the relationship. And so you get to say, hey, I know this might be working for you. It's not working for me. I'm not happy here. Something has to change, or I'm going to continue to not be happy in this. Right. So I think that that's a misconception in our relationships, is that we need to agree that the balance is off. Right. If the balance is off, then they are probably benefiting from it. And so
I wouldn't want to change either.
Right. Who would? But if you're unhappy, that means something. And it's just going to build. That shit is just going to build unless you do something about it. I know it's uncomfortable. I would also ask yourself, what is the fear of bringing it up? What's the worry about how they're going to react or what's going to happen if homeostasis is thrown off? What will happen? And so, but I can promise you, pushing it down or ignoring it doesn't make it go away.
Nope.
Nope.
All right. We're getting towards the end of our episode. Wow. Jen, let's get two more. Let's get two more in.
Okay. I like this, but I want to figure out what it means. We might have to sift through it a little bit.
Okay.
How to get deeper without therapizing from a fellow therapist.
We've talked about this. We had an interaction, right? What? One of us yelled at the other, like, don't fucking therapize me. When was that? I don't even know which side it was.
It was in grad school. Okay. I remember it. It was in grad school. We were on my couch. I remember everything about it. We were on my couch. You were talking about your relationship. Aaron, you and Aaron were long distance. And I just started going into therapy mode because I didn't realize that wasn't something we were doing. And you were like, I don't want you to be a therapist right now. I don't think you said don't be a fucking therapist. I would have been like, oh,
yeah,
my word. But yeah, I think that's a balance you have to find in your relationships. You have to. I have learned in my relationship with my husband that I cannot talk to him like a therapist.
Yeah.
Doesn't work.
It's also not part of what works about the therapeutic relationship is it's consent.
Right.
People aren't consenting to be therapized by you when they don't sign your consent to release.
They're not your client. Right.
Yeah.
So I often have, I do this with a lot of my friends where they might reach out to me for something and I say to them,
ask permission.
Do you want my therapeutic advice or do you want my friend advice? Most of them will always say, obviously, I want your therapeutic advice.
Yeah. Okay. But it's a good point. But advice, just giving unprecedented advice, like unrequested advice, like you are like violating someone's boundaries, right? So like say I would want always ask permission, which part of me do you want me to bring to this? Or what you're saying is like how to get deeper without therapizing them. Say to them like, I want some more depth. Play a game. The amount of motherfucking games that have come out. Our friend Mac has a wonderful card game about depth. There's the 36 questions to fall in love. They are great things to say, like, let's do this. Like, I want to have some more depth in our relationship. I want it to be consensual. I want us to be doing it together and choice together. Would you want to one night open a bottle of Fanta?
Fanta?
You want to make it an alcohol?
Fanta
wanna
soda.
Fanta. You want to Fanta. I didn't want to make it about alcohol. If you want to like sit outside, listen to some music and play one of these games with me.
Hopped up on sugar.
Hopped up on sugar.
Fanta.
Right? But like that's consent. That is getting depth. And there are so many different. Esther Perel, I think, has a game. I mean, there's like literally like a million of these depth games now. Just Google.
Google in-depth games. I also, especially when I'm meeting new people, I will say, I'll make a joke out of it and say, hey, I'm sorry, I have no social skills because I'm a therapist. Like, stop me if I'm asking too many questions. So I will say if I'm going to, like, please stop me. Or I'll say, like, I don't know if this is too deep, but blah, 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 blah.
Well, I mean, here's the other thing, right? Like, then it's also, like, one-sided, right? So you're talking about getting deep, relating to two people, relationship, right? If I'm just therapizing you, it's a one-way relationship. You might be getting deep, but I'm not. And then we're not actually getting deep together.
Right. And if you're a therapist.
But Jen, I have watched Jen I've never gone to a bar with Jen that she doesn't end up in the corner talking to someone about their mom issues. I mean, it is, she sometimes you cannot turn it off.
It's because I love it.
I'm like, don't come near me.
It's because I love it. I love it so. I love it.
Right? But don't you think it's not real? I mean, you're going deep with them, but they're not with you. They're not asking questions back to you.
Who wants that? I don't. So that's what I was going to say, is that I think that being in the therapist role can feel more comfortable in a lot of ways.
Yes.
That it's so much easier for you to open up the space for someone else to be vulnerable with you. But the real relationship comes where you're both vulnerable with each other. And I think that's something to ask yourself, is like, what are these relationships that you're building? Are they fulfilling for you? Are you actually being vulnerable with them? Or do they just feel safe for you because they're being vulnerable with you and you are not opening up to them? So I think that's a really good point. I think that it's easier, especially for therapists who are on one side of it, to say it's so much easier for me to allow them to be vulnerable than to be vulnerable myself.
Yeah. Since today's episode was a fun, spontaneous episode, we don't have a Dear Em and Jen. So I'm going to say one.
Do it.
Because I think this is what people actually want to be saying. Dear Em and Jen, I desperately want depth, connection, love, and intimacy in my relationships. I don't know how to get that with some people in my life. What do I do? Because that's what I think we're really saying, right?
Yes.
This is all coming from a place of love and belonging. So guess what? You're human. It is literally part of being a human being is the need for connection and intimacy. Intimacy is not just romantic intimacy, right? Sex, I don't even like the word physical intimacy, like, right? Like, let's just say, like, sex is fucking sex. Intimacy is like fucking death,
we're deep
baby.
In it.
Yes, it is healing. It is powerful. It is soul filling. It is truly like, fuck, man, like I am hungry for some intimacy and you fulfill me and you make me full.
Yeah.
And we all deserve to have people in our life that give that to us. And it takes work. In our relationships early on, it was easy, right? Like, remember, like when you're like a little kid, you just like fucking laugh, and like you can make this friend, you just like laugh together, and you're doing like stupid shit, and it's awesome.
Or do you remember when you would have like you would talk to someone on the phone for like hours in high school? I would like fall asleep talking to like a dude on the phone.
And what were we even talking about?
What
right?
the hell were we talking about?
But here's the thing: we let ourselves have it earlier in life. It's all the other shit that fucks us up and makes it so hard in adulthood. So that part of you, your inner child part, knows you want and need belonging. And that's what I want to encourage you to do, to relate to your relationships, to have real intimacy. And if you're not getting it in your romantic relationship, in your friendships, to one, speak up for yourself. And two people to start a dynamic, one person to change it. If you need more depth, start being more deep in them. Start being honest. Start saying that. Start saying really uncomfortable shit that scares you and see where it gets you.
I don't have a follow-up to that. That was beautiful. And that's our episode.
Even in that East Coast accent. Okay. Hey, thanks for listening to today's episode of Shrink Chicks. What do you got, Jen?
Oh, I'm going again?
Come on, you're getting so good.
Thank you. I love the practice. Thank you for listening. If you think someone would benefit from this episode, send it on over to them. If you want to open up a conversation with them about them doing the work, send it on over to them. Listen to turn it on in the car when you're with them and say, hey, whoa, just surprise them. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe and follow on Apple Podcasts. If you are looking to see a therapist, we have some incredible therapists in person in our Westchester, Pennsylvania office and in person in our Philadelphia office. Our new location is opening up mid-October. We are also seeing clients virtually in states of Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey, Delaware, Florida, California, Massachusetts. Did I miss any? Nope. And never forget. To grow yourself, you got to know yourself. Thank you so much. We love you and we appreciate you tuning in.
See you next week.